So with that, we're going to begin our fun time today. I'm going to invite Pastor Jen to lead us in today's message.
Hello. Thank you, Eddie. Hello. Before I begin, I just have to give a little plug for next Saturday. Can we bring up the house lights? I feel like I need sunglasses. Or am I just standing in a weird spot? Okay. So next Saturday, this will be my third year participating in this event, but it's giving out, I think, over 800 gifts to children, and it is by far my favorite thing that we do. It has become a family tradition in the Christmas season. I'm always recruiting my nieces and nephews to come out with us because it's just such an amazing time when it's all about receiving, to be able to holding the toy that you would love to have and giving it to somebody else. It's such a blessing. I can't say enough things about it, but talk to me after if you have more questions, but I just encourage everyone to participate. Okay, I just had to throw that in there. Those of you who don't know, I'm Jennifer Kilpatrick, and I have been leading the children's ministry for the last 2.5 years, and since I've been here, I've had a baby. Right there, Finley. And I have 5 children, ages 20, 17, 13, 2, and 9 months. Same husband, no weird story, just we took a break and then we, not from each other, from having babies and just to clarify, and then had another baby. So I have a word specifically. This is actually ties in with what I felt God wanted me to share today. But last Sunday, I was sitting here, and Pastor Sam was doing the announcements, and I had earlier in the week talked to him about the Saturday event, giving away the gifts, and he said, "Oh, I should have you share something." But he never said whether or not he was going to do that. And so as I'm sitting there, he's doing the announcements. I'm like, "Oh," and I'm holding both my 2-year-old and my 9-month-old, and I'm like, "Oh no." He's going to ask me to come up there, and what am I going to do? You know, like, I have my hands full. And Ian, my husband, was playing bass. I'm like, So I felt God tell me, like, say, I can use you in whatever season you're in. Because something I tell myself is, it's not my season. And I felt really convicted about that in that moment, that God's like, why can't I use you in that season? And I was like, well, what am I going to do? Walk up there with a baby? And God's like, yeah, you're going to walk up there with a baby. Like, so he didn't do it. But then I also felt like it was a broader word for the church, that God can use every one of us in whatever season that we're in. Whether it's we don't have a job, or we're going through it, we're sick, or we have a hard time. There's never a time in our life where God discounts us. So I just felt like that was encouraging to me, and I know that God wants every one of you guys to also know that we are not discounted because of our season. He'll use us in every season of our life. Okay, so let's pray really quick. Jesus, we just thank you that you love us so much, that the whole reason that we even celebrate Christmas is because of your extreme love for us that we can't even imagine. And we just ask, Lord, if we could just see a fraction of it, I think our minds would be blown. I thank you for the children. I thank you that you use every one of us in whatever season we're in. And I ask your Holy Spirit to just come in this room and to stir us up and to do what you have for us to do. And I just thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name. Okay. So, Terry, we can go to the first slide. So, actually, the second slide. So I'm going to talk about love and the unexpected, and then the kids are going to share something. This is for you guys, too. So Christmas, where did Mary, kids, lay baby Jesus when he was born? Yeah, a manger, which is where the animals ate their food out of. Who knows that animals can be kind of disgusting? If you've ever seen an animal eat and they're drooling and maybe they're pooping at the same time, Ian, my husband, was like, that's a very clean looking manger. That glamorizes the situation, right? So it kind of goes back to what God was telling me, is that God is going to use the unexpected to host the King of Kings. You think about the prophecies that there were for all those years about the Savior of the world, and that was going to come in. First of all, a young girl, unmarried girl, is the one that's going to deliver that baby into the world. I doubt that's what the wise men and the scholars of the time expected. And then she doesn't even have a home. I mean, to me, it just speaks so much of times in my life. I'm like, God, this cannot be you, because where's my palace? You know, like, but God uses the unexpected. And I just want to read the scripture. This is from the Message Bible, which I love reading this version. Luke 2, 6 through 7. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. So I love that this is such a kingdom principle of the first shall be last, the last shall be first. When I used to teach the kids every week, I would talk about that, because you know how kids are like, I'm me, 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 I'm first, I'm first. And I'm like, well, if you're first, then you're last. So like, so it's better to be the one that's last, because God was the ultimate model for that, right? And that he served as our leader. And there's so many even Old Testament examples of that. David and Goliath, right, kids? David, he was the, when Saul was trying to anoint the next king, he's going down the line. Okay, it must be this brother. He's the oldest, and look, he's been educated. And God's like, nope, it's not him. And then they go to the next one. Nope, next one. And then finally he's out of brothers. He's like, and Saul's like, okay, is there someone else? Because God's saying it's none of these. And they're like, well, there's some guy, you know, the youngest brother, but he's like out with the sheep. But guess who God used? The one out with the sheep. David. This is exciting news, because it gives to me, I'm like, oh, God can use me. I think I'm the guy out with the sheep, but I'm with kids. and so yeah, so even God, I like think this always gives me hope that God even used a donkey, right? Have you guys read that story where God speaks through a donkey? I didn't want to end right there into my next part, because the kids are not donkeys. But that if God can use David, if God can use a manger, he can use the children. And it's, they're the unexpected, right? And it's so God, because a lot of times when you've heard a child prophesy, they don't know. Not a lot of times, 99% of the time, they don't even know what they're talking about, so you know it's God. They're not filling in the blanks with, you know, how they know life goes, or not that we do that, but you're like, oh, wow, that it's so profound. So as I was praying into this, and how, because it's something we've talked about as a church, you know, there's no junior Holy Spirit, and the kids are part of the body, and we're not using the whole body, and I have sleepless nights about this, because I'm like, well, what does that look like? What does that look like? Because our church doesn't, not our church, the church at Broad doesn't have room for that. And someone doesn't want to come to a church unless there's an amazing kids program. But then you're like, but they want to have these little cupcakes. And, you know, Selena and I's passion is that they're like up here prophesying. And, you know, it's just this, you know, back and forth. And God was showed me that the true thing that has happened is not just with the church, it's with our culture and our society, that there's been a great divide. You can go to the next slide, Terry. There's the divide. and that we don't trust that God has equipped us to take care of what he has given us. It happened back when our school system started, and now the state is telling us, you can't also teach your kids about morality. You're not equipped. Let us do it. Let us make medical decisions for your kids. Let us teach your kids, because you don't know what you're doing. And even kids come home from school and they say, you don't know what you're talking about. My teacher said, and you're like, wait a minute. You know, God gave me this child because he trusted me and he equipped me with this child. And it's a tragedy. But it's a lie that we believe that Satan has told us, that we aren't equipped to take care of our children. And so We do not believe that anymore. Amen? So, and that's with anything. I mean, we're using children, but there's been a great divide. And that's so Satan's character to come and divide, right? Because we are one body, and we're meant, he's paralyzing us. He's making us not a fully functioning body of Christ, because he's saying, oh no, just get that part away, and it's a lie. So, let's see. So we are going to do a prophetic act that is going to, because you know that our battles are not with flesh. You guys know that, kids? How do we fight our battles? Who knows? Adults? Yes. We all, they know that song. So we fight our battles with scripture, with words. We say one word, Jesus is already won, right? And Satan is such a liar, and he tries to come and tell us that we're not equipped, that we can't do this, and the children are noisy, and they're messy, and the manger is dirty. Mary didn't say that. She said, yes, Lord. And so I am going to have all the children stand up with Selena, and then I'm going to ask some adults to come stand over here. Or how about the parents? But Ian, will you, and Eddie, will you? Yeah, Kyle, come stand over here. We need an adult representation that, rather than having all the adults in the room stand over here. So when we speak life, the power of life and death is in the tongue, correct? Right? So we're going to make these declarations because we are going to send Satan's lies back to where they belong. Yes? And they are not welcome back. And what we do here can affect the culture outside of these walls, right? Because Satan has even made us believe that we shouldn't even have the babies in the first place, right? It's an inconvenience, you know, you might as well just kill the baby before it's born. But that is such a lie. And I think we are going to be the forerunners to undoing that that lie, and we're going to speak truth, right? Okay, so it's going to be up here, and adults, I'll read it with you, and then after you read it, you're going to take two steps forward. And then the kids, Selena will help you, will read your declaration, okay? Okay, next slide, Terry. Here we go. Adults, ready? I am equipped to take care of what God has given me. And take two steps forward. Okay, next. Children, I honor my parents. Two steps forward. Okay, next one, ready? Adults, the kingdom of heaven belongs to the children. Two steps forward. I love this. Okay, next one, ready, children? I will have a full life. Okay, two steps forward. And then mixed together, I've got to. And then all together, we're going to read this one. Ready? We are one body. Yay! Kids, that is how you fight your battles, right? We declare, and you can declare this in your home, and okay, that's really powerful, and I'm really excited, because I think that embrace, I don't know, you guys have all been around, we take on big tasks, you know, those of you that were part of Dream Fest. And I know Pastor Sam has been getting, you know, involved in praying into the political mountain. And to me, like, I know that we have the power to change the culture, right? So I like December 15th, 2019, mark my words, this from this day forward, it's changing. You guys ready? Okay. So now the kids are going to have a special presentation with us and with Selena. But after this, we are going to The kids, I've asked some people to prophesy over the kids and the teenagers. And so you guys are going to stay up here and the teens will join them. And so we'll transition into that. But I wanted just to put that in your head while they're doing this. Okay, I'm going to pass it over to Celine. What? Oh, I've asked some people to prophesy over the kids, which we're going to do after they read their presentation for us. So I just want you to be praying and seeing the kids as God sees them. So right now, actually, let me pray that before we start. Lord, I thank you for these children. I thank you what you just did here in the spirit, Lord, that you've just unified the body. I thank you, Lord, that you have equipped us to take care of what God has given us. And Lord, I just ask you to open our eyes. I ask you to show us how you see these kids, to see the artwork that you've made. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.
Kids, come on up here. Adelaide, could you stand right here, right on the inside of that mic? And then line up in our order. Don't go on this side. Don't touch. No touch. Okay, and then let's go. Yeah, just move the mic stands back a little bit. And then are you gonna
Megan? You come with me.
Okay, watch out for the cords. You are now professionals, so spread out. Come, the three of you come. You're going to stand right here. So if I talk real loud, you can hear me right there, right? And right back here. Lower a little bit. All right, let me see if I can get through now.
Okay.
So the first thing we always do, which we want to do with you guys as well, put your papers down on the floor. We always start our time together with prayer. Okay? Now that we're here, shall I go over here? I'm stepping on paper, sorry. Okay, so in the beginning of our little time together, we always pray. Do you remember what we pray? Okay, let's do it together. Okay, pinkies, hold pinkies. Okay, pretend you're holding mine. Pretend you're holding mine. Come on, hold the thing. No, not you, your brother. Pretend you're holding pinkies. Just hold pinkies. Otherwise, you get too many cooties. Okay. So we bless our time here together. We bless all of you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And we always want to say this to God because we always want to hear from him only. Father, clean our eyes, clean our ears, clean our mouths, clean our hearts, clean our imagination, and clean our noses. Because we only want to hear from you, see you, and smell you. In the name of Jesus, everyone said, amen. Okay, so we're here to tell you about, in case you don't know, Jesus came, there's a thing called Advent. And Advent is a season before Jesus was born that we celebrate now. We've talked about this a little bit. Can you just stand? Are you okay? Do you need a chair? Okay. You've been working very hard. Oh, okay. Yeah, you don't need it yet. So in Advent, first, we celebrated by, or we remember, the wise men. And what did the wise men read? They were looking, they were waiting, anticipating, because they read the map in the, and they heard from, and they were being told by God that there's a baby coming, the most important birthday of all time, and his name later on they figured out was Jesus, actually Yeshua. Okay, but we won't go there. And then, so the wise men celebrated the first Advent trying to find the baby Jesus. The second, now all this time, for how many years? 2019 years, we've been anticipating baby Jesus' birth in history. But the real reason for Advent is he's going to come back. Right? And there's a special way that scripture tells us that he's going to come back. Now, first of all, God gave us his son. So who has number one? Augie, pick up your papers. Yellow first. You have white. Okay, I'm going to stand behind you guys now. Okay, so we're going to read this verse in many different versions to bless you with it, to remind you. Okay?
John Kings 3:16, King James Version. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Excellent.
New International Version. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Number three.
Amplified Bible. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his one and only begotten Son, so whoever believes and trusts in him as Savior shall not perish but have eternal life.
Passion Translation. For this is how
much
God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life.
The Message. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son, and this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go into all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him.
Okay, so now we know that God came as a baby. Everyone here knows that. Everybody watching knows that. So the next time he comes, it tells us in the Bible, he's going to come like this.
Revelation 19:11-20. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war.
His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself.
Armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nation. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress for the fury of the wrath of God Almighty.
And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written.
King of kings and Lord of lords.
Again.
King of kings and Lord of lords.
Okay, put your papers down on the ground. So now we're very clear. First, God came as a baby. Next time he's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And how is he going to come?
He'll be riding a white horse. He'll be wearing many crowns. And he's going to have a sword in his mouth and fire in his eyes. He'll be riding a white horse. He'll be wearing many crowns. And he's going to have a sword.
we're going to know for sure, so that when somebody says, hey, I think Jesus is coming back, we have to go over here and see him. Are you going to go? Because he's going to be coming out of the sky with all those angels on a white horses, dressed in fine linen and a robe that's been dipped in blood. And he's going to have a sword in his mouth and fire in his eyes and many, many crowns, right? So we bless you with knowing the truth. So now you know the truth. So just in case you wanted to know, also in the Bible it says, may he, I'm going to pray this over you. I'm blessing you all. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when the Lord Jesus comes with his holy ones. And just a reminder, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, we will know because he's riding a white horse, he's got a sword in his mouth, many crowns, and fire in his eyes. And if you don't know Jesus, do you guys know Jesus? Did you ask him into your heart? And you ask forgiveness for your sins? Yeah? Okay. But if you don't, and you want to pray this prayer with us, we're just going to pray it real quick so that you get to know Jesus all by yourself, just you and him, and you get to know him when you come to Sunday school. So let's close our eyes, and we're praying for everybody out there, okay? Jesus, thank you for what you did. Holy Father, thank you for what you did for us. Thank you for coming as a baby. I choose to believe that you are the Son of God, Jesus, only you, that you came as a baby, that you died on the cross, and that you were raised again 3 days later. And by your blood, your bridge, I can now talk to God the Father and you and have the Holy Spirit in me. Only because of you, Jesus of Nazareth. I pray this. Amen. All right. I think we're good here. Anything anybody wants to say? While you were doing worship, did you have a word for anybody that you wanted to give? No? Or a dance that you wanted to do? No dance? No? Okay. So we're going to stay up here.
That was awesome. I think we have a new Christmas song. Terry, will you do the next slide? I didn't want to keep this up here because, look, I edited David. But I just wanted to point out that this is a lot about, like, that rock on the left, that when Michelangelo saw that, he saw a piece of art that was in there, right? And then he saw the David. And that when we're praying now for the kids and when we go about our day or how you see yourself, what you want to see is that piece of art that God created. Because God created each of you, not by accident, but on purpose. And he created each of these kids in their works of art. And so we're going to call that out then today. And there's something powerful about seeing people the way that God sees them. And I really want to honor the kids today as part of our body. And to me, that's the best gift that we could give them, better than physical gifts, but to tell them how God sees them. So I've asked some people in the church to be praying this week, and if they have words for the kids, and I'm going to ask you to come up if you have one, but I want to start with Yvette, because she had a dream that she wants to share, and then I know Jason has something too, so. If I didn't ask you and you have a word, if you want to tell Ian or Selena, and they can, but I want to make sure I have time for everything. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. That's been very beautiful, Jen. I had a dream back when Jen was expecting Finley, and which I was really surprised to be dreaming about them because I rarely dream of any of you. I'm sorry. But I had this dream, and she was in a hospital bed about to give birth, and I could only see her from the tummy down, extending down to her feet, and in front of her was a chair by her, you know, in front of, by her, the foot of the bed. And I was really amazed because in this dream, sitting on the chair was Jesus Christ. And I was really amazed. I wanted to see his face, but his head was bent downward. And he had a large book in his hand. It was bigger than this. And it reminded me of the children's books when I would read to my children. And I was listening to him, and he was actually speaking to the baby within the womb. And I was like, what are you reading? I wanted to know what he was reading, but I'm just paying attention. And as I'm paying attention, I realize that he's speaking to this baby his entire life before even one day came to be. So he was reading his life to him. And I was just, it was so precious. And Psalms 139 came alive to me. In your book was written every day for me before even one of them came to be. And so I just wanted to tell you children that God has a book. Every single one of you, and every single one of you has a book where your name is written down, and Jesus actually wrote your book. And he knows everything that will happen every single day of your life, every single minute of your life. And he wants you all to choose what's inside his book that will bless you, that you will listen to him and know him, so it can end out in happily ever after. He wants your life blessed because Jesus loves you very, very much. And also that there's too much of a gap between children and adults. So I was just going to ask if we could all extend our hands. And there is a blessing in the book of Numbers chapter 6 where the Lord's, this is the Father's own prayer. And he said to Moses, speak to the children of Israel and say these words, and I will bless them. So we just say over you, in the name of Jesus, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance before you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, may our generation always speak well of this generation. Well, may we bless them. May we not do what previous generations have done in churches to judge younger generations. The Lord, we have power in our lips to bless the baby that came. The Lord Jesus came as King and Priest. He gave us that mantle to bless. So let's always bless them. Let's not pass them by in the hall and act like they're not there. We're one, and that's the heart of God today. I'm so glad that Jenna shared that, because that was also in our prayer prayer time today, in intercession, that we're one.
Okay, Pastor Jason. Oh yeah, we're gonna. We also want to include the teens, but we'll have them come up after we get through all the children. Pastor Jason has a word. I will let him.
Well, God gave me two pictures for two kids specifically. One is for Augie. So Augie, you're going to be an evangelist. God has an evangelist gift, which means you're going to be able to talk to people close to your age, maybe even grown-ups, and you're going to tell them about Jesus. And not only that, when you pray for people, people are going to be healed. And for Leora, you're going to be one of God's teachers. So you have a teaching anointing on you. As you grow into that, you're gonna teach more people about Jesus.
Awesome. Thank you, Jason. Anne?
Thank you. As the Lord, I have a general word for all of the children and everybody in the room, because this is true of us. We are all children in the sight of the Lord. You know, even if you're 63 like me, I'm still a child of the Lord. So in that picture of the rock, that we saw, and then we saw the picture of the statue of David. What God sees, and what he, because he knows the end from the beginning, he not only knows who you are because he made you, he also knows what you're going to do. He knows your gifts, your talents, your strengths, your weaknesses. And he is there for you in all of those things. He knows the good things that are going to happen to you, and he knows the not so good things that are going to happen to you. But he uses it all, and he never rejects you. He never leaves you alone. He never walks away and says, okay, I'm done with that person. He never says that, ever. He's always there. And if you will trust him, he will take those not so good things that happen to us in life and turn them around to good. Amen. He will use those bad things even more than he uses the good things. Okay, that's the general word. The last thing I had was for the three of you. Are you siblings? No, you're not? These two are? But and Micaiah, you're a different family? Okay. The board then is for the two of you. I don't know your names. God puts you in the family for a reason. Okay? You are brothers and you're reasonably close in age for a reason. You're very different from each other. Okay? What you like is not necessarily what you like, and you know, stuff like this. You're really different, okay? But God puts you together as brothers because you need each other. You need his strength. You need his strength, okay? Your weaknesses are covered by his strength. Your weaknesses are covered by his strength, okay? You are brothers. And he created that for a reason, because you're going to need each other your entire lives.
Amen.
Okay? So be strong and don't let any division come between you. And by division, I especially mean things that, you know, other people and events that can separate you. So don't let that happen, okay? Because the enemy is going to try to do that. And I rebuke that in Jesus' name. And I thank you for an angel, Father God, that you will assign to these two brothers to keep them in covenant, walking with you all the days of their lives.
Amen.
And then, Micaiah, I had a word for you. And here's the word for you. The Lord loves you so much. And he sees you. You're not invisible to him. He sees you. You're precious to him. You're very, very precious to him. And he doesn't want you to hide because you're beautiful. You're so beautiful. And he's going to make his light shine out of you. Okay, so your Father in heaven loves you, and you are a beautiful jewel in his hand. Okay?
Just someone else? Lisa?
Yeah, so I asked the Lord to give me a little card, something I've written out. One of you, and I think it's for you, Emma. And at first I heard the word quarter, and so you'll see what this is in a minute. You're such a treasure and delight to the Lord and to everyone who meets you. You're like a quarter that you find hidden in a birthday cake. You're sought after by many because of the joy and strength that you carry. You're an encourager. You are valuable, uniquely designed by God. You're a bubbling brook. His rivers of living water flow freely from you wherever you go. So don't hold back. We are blessed by being in your presence and by the words that you speak. And here's a quarter. I went looking in my purse for a quarter, and it just happens to have a river flowing through it. And so this is for you to keep.
That's awesome.
Okay. So, Micaiah, I have something to add. I just see you, and you have a very quiet and gentle spirit. And I feel like you, the way that Jesus has made you, because we've talked about, right, how God has designed, like, each one of us. He thought about us before we were born, and he's like, oh, I'm going to put this in her. And I feel like what he's put in you, sweetheart, is you have a very tender heart, and I see you very quietly. You have a quiet spirit, but I feel like God's going to use you to just, you have a mercy gift. You have the gift of mercy, I feel like, and that God's going to use you to just come beside people when they feel discouraged or sad, and you're just going to come beside them and stand beside them and put your arm around them and encourage them, because you're really good at that. And so I just want to bless you with that, and that just that the Lord loves that when you do that for people. And Emma, right? I just want to add to what Miss Lisa said, that I got the word sparky for you. You're sparky, and that you just, and you're joyful, and that you just bring a light into the room. And I kind of feel like the same thing is that when, as I said for Micaiah, but in a different way, because when people are sad or down, you can come in and you just lighten their heart, and you just bring cheer and joy to people. So.
Okay. Anybody else? Eddie. Do you want to have the teens come up right now?
Sure.
Okay. Teens. Yes.
I just want to say, Adelaide, your voice is so beautiful, and you just blessed us so much by singing today.
Yes. Elijah, I had a, God gave me a picture for you, and he has made you to be a strong boy, and you're going to become a strong man. But I just felt that there was going to be a moment or moments in the future when something will happen and others will be frozen and not know what to do. But you will, and you will be the one who moves, and you will be the one who helps, and your actions will glorify your Father in heaven. So when those moments happen, be encouraged and be courageous and follow your big heart.
Hey guys, you've done really good up here. Wow. Lots of kudos to you guys. Wow. Leora, you're sneaky fun. And I just want to speak that over you and just say, wow, you have like a really fun joy about you that's really sneaky. So it's kind of mischievous at times, but that's okay, because mischievous leads to a lot of just, so enjoy that. And maybe that's even a part of that other part of you, which is a teacher that was brought up before, that you're sort of this sneaky fun teacher. And that'd be really cool. That'd be really cool. What is your name, dude? Yeah, you. Say it again.
Edgar.
Cool. Man, I just see that, yeah. No, pull that down. You don't need that. You're a strong guy, man. You're a strong guy. You are. You're a very strong guy, and you have leadership all over you. And you have a leadership heart on you. You have a heart for other people. And you can draw them to yourself. You get that? You have something that you can lead men and people. And I just want to bless that in you. I want to say, yes, you are a leader, and you are meant to lead people. And so I just honor that in you. I don't just bless it, I honor it in you. Cool? That's very cool. And Elijah, I want to say, look here. You and I have some similar gifts, buddy. And I just want to I just want to bless the strength of God. Look here. The strength of God, that all the things you experience, you follow me? All the things you experience, that they would come, that you would not be fearful of them, that God would strengthen you in those. I pray that you would sleep better than you've ever slept before in your life. Right here, buddy, right here. Yeah, that you will sleep better than you ever have before, and that you will begin to speak over people's lives in a way you never imagined. That your voice, Elijah, has purpose and power. Yeah. And then you, sweetheart, have just been talked to all morning afternoon. So I'm going to do it one more time, right, okay? My name's Byron, by the way. And I just see royalty all over you. I just see a royal spirit upon your life. What does that mean? You know what that means? It means that you get to walk into the courts of the king. That means you get to ask Jesus anything you want anytime. It means that you have been set apart to bring people into his presence, into the presence of God. The royalty of Jesus is on your life. Amen.
Pastor Mike.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad they brought the teens up. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 11 is an admonition to every parent in the house. And it talks about being obedient to God and following him in everything that you do. But it gives you something else to do too. It says that when you learn these things, tie them around your neck, but also give them to your children. So I'm glad you prayed over the kids to use their imagination, because God has given us immense imaginations, amen? And I want to give you something, but I want to give it to you spiritually, all you guys, including the teenagers. We still have Bible studies with our kids, even though they're 37 and 30 years old, and we still teach them the Word of God even now. And the Lord wanted me to come up here and have you all use your imagination, because he gave me a treasure chest. And I'm going to give it to you, okay? So I want you all to hold your hands out to receive it. And I'm going to give you a spiritual treasure chest, every one of you, even you, Eddie. Hallelujah. Now I want you just to put it in your hands and to just flip it open. I want you to look down in there. Because what's inside is a rock. And it doesn't look like much, but it's made of solid gold, and it's to be treasured. And that rock is the Word of God. And my admonition to the teens is value this, because the devil's always trying to steal it from you. You need this. This was the Word that told you that when you can't sleep, you'll be able to sleep. When you don't feel like anyone loves you, if you'll take that rock and hold it in your hands, you will know that God loves you. These are the solid promises of the Bible in that rock, which is Jesus Christ. And it's given to you in your treasure chest to open it up every time that you need it. So I want to bless you. I'm going to pray over you. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for those who didn't have the fathers and mothers that gave them this treasure, Lord, that they would receive it, Father. Their hearts would be completely open to know how much God cares about them and loves them. And any time that they need help, God, they can reach in this chest and grab that rock and hold on to it, God. And they'll value it. They'll never let it go. Not only that, God, when they get old enough, they'll pass it to the next generation, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, thank you. Adelaide, I had a word for you. That... I don't know. I guess the right word is that you're a seer, but I just feel like you see a situation and you don't just see what's happening like for real, like the physical, but you can see what's going on in the spirit. And because of that, you are the right word. You can make a plan. You know how to fix a problem because you can walk in and be like, oh, I see what's going on here, right? And because you know in the spirit what's going on. And that's like a major superpower. And I know that God has equipped you to handle that because you are, well, because I know you personally. You love God's word, and I'm excited to see how you're going to use that gift. Okay. It's hard to transition from that. It makes you want to cry. Okay, so we've got, I love that our three teens that came up here are all men. I think there's something really significant about that. Men of God. And so I would really love, I know God is going to has something that he wants to give to each of these young guys. So if you have a word for them, please come up here. I feel like, oh, Mike, Ian, do you? I feel like you do. Do you want me to take the baby? Okay. Pastor Mike, you should have just stayed up here.
I'm sorry. I don't want to hog everything. But while I was sitting in my chair, the Lord told me, point at Daniel and tell him you're from good stock. And it's hard for you to accept their word. You're a little bit shy, but you're also very bold and you're very influential. And God told me that you're going to affect a lot of people. You know, you're kind of quiet. A lot of people don't know you as quiet, amen. But but you are quiet and you have a very quiet spirit to you. But you come from great stock. And God's going to use that great stock that's been invested in you through your father to reach people. And you're going to be the quiet and calm preacher. And God's going to use you in that way to affect people. So I just want to bless you in that in Jesus' name.
Jason.
I've got a word for somebody, and it's you. I'm sorry, brother. I forgot your name. Edison. William, you've got a gift of intercession. Your prayers are powerful. You're gonna, when you pray, the enemy flees. The enemy's scared of you, brother. Continue to do that.
You know, I have a word for Daniel also, and the Lord was showing me how tender your heart is and how you care for, usually you care for the people that other people don't care about, and you are kind to them and considerate, and you always want the best for them, and you're a good friend to those people. Yeah. Was that William you were just speaking to? Okay. William, I looked at you and I heard the word shepherd. And I think that God has a calling on your life to shepherd people, that you also have a compassion for people, and he wants you to help take care of people. And it doesn't even mean you have to be a pastor, but wherever you are in the world, you're gathering people and caring for them and helping them along and showing them the way to go and just speaking into their life, speaking encouragement and blessing over them and watching out for them like a shepherd would do. So.
I don't know this young man at the end here. What's your name, brother?
Yeah.
What? Jared, we will get to know each other, amen? But the Lord showed me you like David, and he was considered the least of his brothers, but yet God used him in a great and mighty role. And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit told me he sees you, he knows what you're going through right now, and that he's going to be your help in a time of trouble. So when you need something, just get on your knees and ask him, God, I need your help. I need you to see me through this. He's going to lift you out of your trouble, and he's going to bless you, and you're going to be over all your brothers. He's going to exalt you into a very high position. I don't know what it is, but it's coming. Jeremiah 33:3 says these words, behold, I hold in my hand great and mighty things that you know not of. We always can't figure out everything, amen? And you're a smart guy, I can tell, amen? And I know that you're always thinking about how to figure things out, but God wants you to relax. He wants you to trust in him for everything you're going through. In Jesus' name.
I really want to agree with that, because as he was prophesying, I saw the Lord reaching down and not necessarily replacing your spine, but putting this solid metal rod in your spine to make you unable to bend before opposition. You're unable to bend before the opposition. And he is making you a man of integrity that will stand up and be a leader. Amen.
On that note, I don't have a specific word for any of you, except that years ago, I've had two profound dreams in my life. And a couple years ago, I had one where I was actually standing with a small group of men against this enemy at the end of the world, basically end times, this huge demon, essentially. And we were doing battle. We were preparing for battle. And then we stood up. And that was the only battle, was to stand against this thing. We actually didn't actually fight or anything like that. We just stood up, which goes right along with what Ann was just saying, that rod. And I couldn't see the men that were with me, but I could sense their spirit that was in it. We were one spirit, and I sense it in you guys. And this was a thing that you stood for truth and what was right as unto death. So we actually chose that time in the dream, and I believe that you guys are among that army of young men.
Wow, that's a good word. It's hard to follow that. But, William, I wanted to add something to you, is that when, I forget who else was speaking to you, but I saw an incredible authority on you. You're a man of integrity and authority. And God's making you a leader. He's making you a leader. And I believe you're going to lead a generation of kids your age. You're going to lead a generation. And the authority that God is giving you, I believe you're going to walk into it as a young man, but you're going to grow into it, you know. You may not understand that all right now, but you're going to grow into it, and you're going to step into it, because you've got a lot in you. God's, he's deposited a lot in you, and he's going to start stirring those things up and bringing those out. So.
Amen.
Oh. God led me to Jeremiah, the first chapter. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God knew who you were. He knew what you were to do. He knew what your life would be like. He knew how he would prepare you and how he would use you. He said, I knew you before you even formed in the womb. And thus says the Lord, you say, I don't know how to speak. I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. All that I command you, you will speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. Then the Lord stretched out his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Let's all extend our hands. Father, I pray you put your word in all of these young men's mouths. Lord, that they would see that they were formed by you for a purpose. They don't need to know what they are to speak, because you will give them the words. They don't need to know where they are to go, because you will direct them. But Lord, that they will know it's by the power and authority of Jesus Christ that they go, and it's in his authority that they have victory in all that they do. In Jesus' name, amen.
I don't so much have a prophetic word as a prophetic prayer, but it's, as someone pointed out earlier, it's not without notice that it's three men that are here today. And particularly in the church at large, in the demographics, this doesn't happen too often. And so I believe there's something powerful about that. I just want to pray, you know, Father, a spirit of fatherlessness, of broken families, of men who do not know you, and who have produced so much hurt that just reproduces and reproduces. And in the midst of that, these three young men here stand. I just want to stand with them and say, in this family, in this community, in their lives, in every life that they touch, it will be the spirit of our Father in heaven. It'll be our Father's heart. From generation to generation, fatherly blessing after fatherly blessing after fatherly blessing, and so on. It will go, and it will go right here, right now. It is cemented in. Many, many generations will be blessed by what's happening in this moment through these young men. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Can you guys come down here? Edgar and George, can you come over here? You guys spread out. I have words for you as well. So your brothers, come. I want you to pray for your brother, because this is how we do it. Okay, stand right here, center. I agree with all those words that were said, face the front. And I declare that you have a new spine. Put your hand on your brother's shoulder, one over here and one over here. Okay, you stand as a family. And speak unity over your family. You don't have to know. You just receive. But what I see in you is a leader, a stealth leader. So that new spine, you can stand where others can't stand. And you guys will stand in unity. You may go before where nobody has gone before, but Jesus is there with you. So I bless you in that. May the Lord's courage be your courage, and he will teach you along the way. Bless your brother in Jesus' name. Say, I bless you in Jesus' name. Okay, now bless them in Jesus' name. Put your hand on their shoulders. Look in their eyes. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, you can relax. Daniel, you can relax up here. You're staying up here. By the way, you guys, thank you for standing up here. You can go back up. Go back up. Get back up there. It's kind of important that you're standing here, so stand back up. Is it easy to stand? Is it exciting? Not really. It's kind of exhausting, isn't it? Okay, when Jesus in the Word, he says, when you've done everything to stand, stand firm. You are part of this, but your generation is on the front lines. Stand firm. It's not easy, so you got to practice standing. And I do agree with the words that have come before you. And I also want to take off the mantle that is a lie, mantles that are a lie, and put on the mantle of the courage of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, because I see joy in you, like crazy joy, like rave joy. So in the name of Jesus, I bless you with the freedom. It is for freedom that you've been set free, to release the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, and will be the strength of those around you. So when you're in doubt, look for the joy of the Lord. And so courage to be joyful. No more hiding, in the name of Jesus. And then for, I see in your spirit, you are a wise man. A wise man. A very much older man. Enjoy being your age. Don't go too fast. Jesus still runs and dances, and he's a little undignified. So I pray that the Lord would bless you with visions of you and him, the Holy Spirit and the Holy Father, hanging out and being wild and having fun. So let his joy rub off on you.
And you're very, very wise and very knowledgeable. It's a gift the Lord has given you. So enjoy learning with him and testing everything that comes to you so that you know it is from the Lord. Because the world will tell you one thing. It sounds so right. So right. Like in science class, so right. It's not. The Lord will confirm if it's right or not. So have fun. And for my amazing friends on Sunday afternoons, which I love coming to, I just wanted to have you guys help me bless these guys, because they might not know. In the Bible it says, Elijah, maybe you remember this, God's voice, God's always talking, and he only has only good things to say. So if it's not good, especially teenagers, if the voice you're hearing is not good, is it God? It's not God. So it's either which, what are the other two voices that we hear? Yes, Emma. Your own and the enemy's. So we've got three projectors in our brain. We got God's, the enemy's, and mine. Listen to God's. Okay, so bless everybody. Say, listen to God's voice. Look at God's movies in your brain. Okay, because that's what we do. And one more really important thing. In the Bible, it says this, that he's always talking. And it says that his voice is like rushing waterfalls. That's a lot of talking. Okay, so let's bless everybody again in the name of Jesus. We bless you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Go ahead, guys. You do it teenager style. We bless you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Go in peace and joy. But you didn't go yet.
Okay, I'll invite the worship team back up. Anything, Yvette? Did you have another? And then we'll also turn it back over to end with a prayer. I'll let you do that. The prayer team could come forward. After. Okay.
I'll be brief. I just don't want to leave here in disobedience. Daniel, you already know that the Lord has confirmed some things in your life of what he wants in your life. But he was telling me that he's given you a gift, and that gift is to break down walls. And he said he gave you a gift called humor. And you are to use that as your connection with older adults and your generation. And because he has made you funny on purpose, and you're not to hold it back. It's going to be in your expression. It's going to be in your preaching. It's going to be... You're going to open up doors because people, it's just going to open up doors for people. You're going to open them up through your humor. So you're to use it and don't hold it back. It's a gift of God. And it gives people joy. And we get to get in. And then the people opens the doors to hear what you have to say about him. So he just told me that that's a gift of humor. Emma, he said that you are a designer. And you're to ask God in your lifetime, what do you want me to make for you? Because you're very creative, and he's going to have you make something, but you need to ask him, what do you want me to create for you? I was really blessed that Byron spoke to Micaiah, because Micaiah, three times before anyone said anything, the Lord kept calling you princess, princess, princess. So I got super excited when Byron talked to you about royalty. Another one, Leora, you have a gift of great intelligence, and you need to give your gift of great intelligence to God and say, how do you want me to use this for you, Lord? Because your gift of intelligence is going to be so precise that you're going to help people. You're going to help people. I don't know if it's going to be with their bodies, because that was the first impression I had gotten, but you have great intelligence in you. So just keep asking Jesus, how do I use what you gave me for your glory? And he'll make you a really great guy. And you, Adelaide, when you read the word of God, it was
God's word, and you're going to be suddenly when you say things, like you are kind of quick, you move quick, you do things quick, but when you move and you say anything to a person, you turn to a friend or an adult in your whole lifetime, you're just kind of like tagging them, and you're going to say God's word, and it's going to imprint them really quick, and they're going to feel stamped in their heart like I did today, because he gave you a gift to print God's word in people's hearts. It's very precious.